الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه والاه. فإن شاء الله we'll continue our discussion about الدار الآخرة. If you have 10 minutes, inshallah, you can join us. So, before I speak about today's topic, I'm going to mention a short story that happened in Edmonton. As I said before, although the word funeral begins with the word fun, normally funerals are not fun, right? But in some cases, some funny situations happen around the funeral or the janazah. So I remember in Edmonton, there were a lot of janazahs for young people, 16, 17, 20 years old, pass away. So this is something that was normal in that community. So one day, I went to the masjid, and there was a janazah. So there is a particular community, they had their own rituals for the janazah. So basically they had the caskets and they had the flowers and they had a picture of the deceased. So a young person, I saw the picture, 17 years old, 18 years old. So we prayed Salatul Dhuhr and we normally do the janazah after. And I prepared something nice to say about the janazah of a young person and to try to motivate the people who come. To make tawbah and so on and so forth. And I was heading to the gym where they had the janazah to pray Salatul Janazah and talk about mawtul fujaa, the fact that some people die at a young age and the sudden death. And the president of the masjid there, so I was chatting with him and I said, how old is the brother? Just to make sure if he was 17, 18. And he told me that the brother is actually 99 years old. So I said, Alhamdulillah, because now imagine if I go there and I gave a talk about sudden death and the brother was 17, that would have been a disaster. The family would actually think that I was making fun of him. The picture they took of him, the president told me, he was a friend of the family, the picture they took was after World War II and before after World War I and before World War II. So that was like when he was in high school. Like Allah knows, 75 years ago, 80 years ago, right? That was like something terrible. But Alhamdulillah, once I knew, like just a few seconds before I started my talk, it would have been a disaster for me. Maybe they would have fired me or something terrible would have happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kareem. طبعاً الأنبياء لهم خصائص. The prophets have characteristics that we don't have. There, of course, one of them is they receive wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they talk to Jibreel when the alayhi salam, when the revelation comes, or they communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a certain way, and we don't have this privilege. Another privilege that we don't have is that when the anbiya, before they pass away, before they die, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, will actually give them the choice of either dying or staying for more years, right? There is extensive evidence in the hadith that the prophets were given the choice. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ يَمُوتْ إِلَّا وَيُخَيَّرْ بَيْنَ أَن يَمُوتْ بَعْدَ أَن يَرَى مَكَانَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Prophet ﷺ says in Bukhari and Muslim, there is no prophet who passed away except that before they pass away, Allah will show them their place in Jannah. So they know where they are going. So then the angel of death will give them the choice of either dying or staying for more years. There's another authentic hadith, Musa alayhi salam was given the option of staying or dying. So he said, okay, if I live longer, how long will I live? So the angel of death said, you put your hand on the back of an ox or a cow, and the number of hairs under your hand, this is what you will live longer. Like hundreds of hairs, this means hundreds of years, like 300, 500, only Allah knows. Then Musa alayhi salam said, then what? What after I live 300 or 500 years more? Then the Malakul Maut said, then death. So Musa alayhi salam said, okay, there is no point in waiting. If I'm gonna die eventually, I might as well go now. Khalas, let's go. There is also the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Bukhari and Muslim, that when the Prophet ﷺ, right before he passed away, so he was in a coma or a concussion, So he lost his consciousness. When he regained his consciousness, he looked at the ceiling and he said, "No, I choose the Most High." فقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها فعلمنا أنه لا يجاورنا. يعني هو يخير فاختار الرفيق الأعلى. So Aisha رضي الله عنها said, when he said that, then I know now that he was given the choice of either staying with us or passing away, and he chose to move to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a choice he made. Also, there is an authentic hadith في Ibn Kathir والقرطبي in the book of التذكرة القرطبي. He said that Dawood alayhi salam entered his palace one day and he saw يعني, a handsome man in white clothes, but he didn't know that man. So he said, you know, how dare you enter my palace without my permission? So this man said, well, I'm the one who doesn't need permission to enter the houses or enter into the presence of kings and rulers. So Dawood alayhi salam said, okay, now I know you. You are Malakul Maut, the angel of death. So he said, okay, what is going to happen? So Malakul Maut said, you either have the option to come or stay. So Dawood alayhi salam said, according to this narration in Al-Qurtubi, in his book Al-Tadhkira, he said, I thought that everyone receives some signs before they leave. So maybe Dawood alayhi salam was thinking of something like gray hair or fallen teeth and the cane and something. So the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, said, we already sent a lot of signs. The signs are everywhere. So Dawood alayhi salam said, what are these signs that were already sent? So he said, where is your father? He said, he died. The Malakul Maut said, okay, where is your neighbor, so and so? He said, he died. What about your cousin? Died. Your mother? Died. So Malakul Maut says, isn't this enough proof that your turn was coming? So if you see people dying all the time and you see janaza all the time, you know for sure that one day it will be your turn. And the ulama say, إِذَا كَانَ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ تَخَطَّاكَ لِيَأْخُذَ غَيْرَكَ سَيَأْتِي الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي يَتَخَطَّى غَيْرَكَ لِيَأْخُذَكَ. So they say that when the angel of death skips you to take somebody else, the day will come that he will skip someone else to take you. So it's common sense. We know for sure that we are standing in a line, so one by one we'll leave this world. The only thing we don't know is that, who is next? This is the only thing we don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Qumran, there are five things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows that no one else knows. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, how much you will make, and when you will die, and so on and so forth. There are five of them at the end of Surah Al-Qumran, and of course there are so many details. So if we don't have this privilege, if we don't know what time we will go, so what do we need to do? There are so many things. Today, inshallah, we'll focus on a small one of them. You need to make tawbah, that's all. And it doesn't take much. If you say, ya Allah, forgive me, khalas, if you are sincere, Allah will forgive you if you violated the rights of Allah. Yani say, for example, you delayed salah for no reason. You have no excuse other than playing or doing something irrelevant or something that is not important. But of course, if there was an emergency or something, like someone was in the middle of a surgery, like a doctor, or someone was in an exam and they didn't allow them to go out to make salah, there is an exception here. Or someone was traveling and so on and so forth. But with no excuse, this is a violation of the rights of Allah, or someone violated the fasting of Ramadan for no excuse. Then, if they make tawbah, there's an authentic hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive. Or someone made nadr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, if you give me money, I'm going to build a masjid for you. It's a nadr for Allah. And for some reason, you didn't keep your word. So if someone made tawbah to Allah and they were sincere, they said, Ya Allah, I was weak. I had a weak iman. I couldn't do it. Ya Allah, forgive me. Then if you are sincere, He will forgive you. He has no problem forgiving you. فَأَغْفِرْ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Allah doesn't mind to forgive violations of His own rights. Then in this authentic hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but there is a sin that I'm not willing to forgive. And this is the sin violating the rights of others. And he saw all those tyrants in Muslim countries that are killing innocent people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive even if these tyrants repent. They make 100 hajj, 100 umrah, because these are not the rights of Allah. Maybe He will forgive the fact that you killed His own creation, but He will not forgive the fact that you took their lives. This is their right. It's a violation of their rights. This is something He will not forgive. On the day of judgment, these people will take the right from that person. Or say, for example, I stole money from someone and I failed to give it back. This is a violation of people's rights, and Allah will not forgive this. So we make sure, يعني أن نتحلل من الذنوب, that we make sure we make up for all the sins that we committed in this dunya before we go. And subhanAllah, يعني أحياناً, يعني كما ذكرت, we never know what time you will go. Sometimes you see a small person leaving this world, 15, 12, so on and so forth. They leave this world unexpectedly, no warnings, nothing, they leave. And they are not sick or anything. And subhanAllah, you see old people, they are running around, 90 years old, over. Like one time we did a janazah for a sister in Edmonton. From what the family told me, she was 109 years old. And they told me that her older brother, she had an older brother, 115 years old. They came from Kazakhstan or something. And mashallah, they were healthy. Her brother came for the janazah. Mashallah, like, subhanAllah. One imam said that one brother came to him for counseling. He was like 65 years old. In Egypt, if you are 50 years old, you are ajuz, like you are old, one foot in the grave. Here it's a little bit different. You see people like jogging around, and they're 80 years old, no problem. So this brother was 65 years old, so he came to the imam for counseling, and the imam said, okay, what is the problem? So the brother who's 65 years old said, I had an issue with my father. So the imam said, you still have a father? Subhanallah. So what did you do that made your father mad? So the brother said, I was not nice to my grandfather. So your grandfather is still alive? MashaAllah, what is this? SubhanAllah. So you never know. So we make tawbah. And subhanAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then He will make it easy for you to make tawbah. Because if He doesn't like you, why would He allow you or help you to make tawbah? And this is something that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like you, He will not open the way of tawbah for you. But if He likes you, and He gives you tawbah, even if you are sinful, this is a sign that He doesn't want to humiliate you in Akhirah, and He opens the door for you. Taban, there are so many stories about people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave tawbah to, although they were sinful and so on and so forth. We'll give examples next time, but this time I'll give just one small example, then we'll let you go, inshallah. There was one of the scholars, Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Tastari. He was a big scholar. So one time he was traveling with a caravan. Then the chores came out, the thieves, called them the coup, they came out, and they wanted to steal their money of the caravan. So they took their food, and they took their money, and they took the food and money of Sahl ibn Sa'd with them. So when they went to the ringleader, or the king of the thieves, everyone was eating the food they stole from the caravan, except the king of the thieves, the ringleader, the head of the thieves. So Sahl ibn Sa'd came close to the head of the thieves, and he said, okay, why are you not eating with them? The food, the biryani is good, the food is nice, why are you not eating with them, the couscous? So he said, today is Monday, and I'm fasting because this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahl ibn Sa'd was so like astonished. You are a thief, you are a chore, and you are fasting like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you love him so much, why are you a thief? So the thief explained like this. He said, I closed all the doors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I don't pray, I don't do hajj, I'm a thief, nothing to be proud of. But I left only a small door open between me and Allah. And this is the door of fasting. So every Monday, Thursday, I fast, like sunnah. Okay. Sa'd ibn Sa'd didn't say anything. He didn't make fun of him or look down upon him, nothing. He said, he smiled and he left. Then Sa'd ibn Sa'd said, wallahi, 3 years later, I was in the haram, making tawaf in hajj, and I came across this guy, the king of the thieves. He was in hajj. So I came to him and I said, what happened? He said, wallahi, I'm not a thief anymore. I pray and I do hajj. I'm a good person now. And the reason is, I didn't close all the doors with Allah. I left only a small door open. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered His mercy on me through this door of fasting, and He opened all the doors for me. So if you see a sinful Muslim, say for example, they don't pray, they don't fast, but they give sadaqah. Don't tell them that you are kafir, Allah will not accept from you. Or if you see someone who doesn't pray in Ramadan, but they fast, don't tell them Allah will not accept from you, because maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercy on them through this small door, and He will open all the doors for them. So don't make people lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray for hidayah, we give them nasiha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawbah before our death, and to give us shahada upon our death, and after death give us jannah and al firdaus al a'la. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.